Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Back in on the drive, coming up in 30 minutes. We'll get into what they're saying about the Kansas City Chiefs after their most recent loss against the Houston Texans. Sean also believes that the Arrowhead advantage is a myth and it is gone. We'll get into that coming up in 10 minutes. But first, BK, what was today's pop quiz?
Today's pop quiz was Beauty and the Beast. If you saw over the weekend, Disney Plus starting to release all of their movies and TV shows that are going to be on their network.
You guys don't want to know how excited I am about Disney Plus. They announced that Recess was going to be on there. I almost lost it. And the whole Spider-Man series from the early 90s. Oh, man, I can't wait. November 12th. I already got mine pre-ordered. I can't wait for Disney Plus.
I'm actually a huge Beauty and the Beast fan. Be our guest. Be our guest.
Very fantastic movie. Have you seen
also a great restaurant at Disney World.
Have you seen the live action one?
I have not.
You should check it out. You probably like it. It's a good movie.
I'll give it a shot.
Coming up in 30 minutes, we will get into what they're saying about the Kansas City Chiefs, and we'll talk about the end of the first half. I don't really have a problem with the Juan Thornhill play or the Patrick Mahomes play. We'll talk about that coming up in 30 minutes. But in a shock to no one, Frank Clark was just eager and ready to talk to the media after another loss from the Kansas City Chiefs.
You got to stop the run to win. As long as we keep letting teams, I've been saying that for, 6 weeks. As long as we keep letting teams get over 100, 150 yards running, you know, it's going to be a long day for the defense. And we're not holding up our end of the bargain for our team this, you know, as far as this year going. We got to stop the run.
So short week, you move on to Denver this week. How do you approach the week?
Got to attack it. You know, got to attack it. Short memory, 24 hours. Monday come in. You know, we got to get ready, get prepared for a new team. So at the end of the day, you know, you reap what you sow. You know, we put ourselves in this position. Got to get ourselves out. You know, 4-2 going into, you know, another week. But just got to keep on going, man. Got to keep fighting. Long season.
Can't even keep the losses straight. They've been piling up so much for the Kansas City Chiefs. So that was Frank Clark. I said this earlier. I'll say it again in case you missed it. I'm over the talking from Tyrann Mathieu. I'm over the talking from Frank Clark. I understand that we want accountability, and I understand what else can they say. Bro, I'm about that action. And I ain't seeing any action when it comes to stopping the run and having the mentality that it takes to stop the run. Let's start here for the conversation. Because, BK, I remember there was a little bit of pushback. And, Sean, I remember I was pushing back, and I was saying that the run defense wasn't that big of a problem. Ooh, you know how you can dress those stats up and you can spin it any kind of way. The biggest reason why they have lost the last 2 weeks is because of their run defense. The biggest reason they've lost and haven't been able to get going offensively, especially in this matchup against the Texans, is teams can come in here, they can run the ball effectively, they can sustain long drives, double-digit play drives, and keep the offense off the field. There's a lot of problems with the Chiefs. The biggest problem right now that they face is they are the worst team in the NFL when it comes to stopping the run.
Is it the scheme? Is it the talent? Because when I watch, and I was in the press box yesterday from up above, it's giant holes that are being created, and it's also lack of tackling. And both those things are going to allow the opposition to average over 5 yards a carry, which is what the Chiefs' run defense is doing so far. They've been terrible. Like, heading into this season, I thought the biggest issue with the defense is going to be the secondary because, quite frankly, I didn't think they had a lot of talent back there. The run defense has been a much bigger issue.
I do want to point out, though, their pass defense is not good.
No, it's not good.
If Will Fuller could catch yesterday, Deshaun Watson would have threw 5 touchdown passes.
That's fair.
I mean, Will Fuller had multiple big-time drops for plays that were 40-plus yards played. Like, I was joking with BK about Will Fuller and his ability to catch. If Will Fuller catches one of those, they hang a 40 on the Chiefs. You could say that the Texans left 18 points on the board. When you think about their kicker, who should probably be unemployed, and you think about Will Fuller and the drops that he had, the Texans probably left 15 to 18 points on the board.
Speaking about their kicker being unemployed, and I know we'll talk about this as the show rolls on.
He was terrible.
You want to talk about complete and total disrespect, not just to the Chiefs, but to your own kicker. 4th-and-3 at the 2-minute warning, where if you bring an NFL kicker out there to make what was like a 47, 48-yard field goal in absolute perfect conditions, and instead they decide to keep that dude on the sidelines and not run the ball. I thought that they did essentially 2 favors yesterday to the Texans by going for it and by throwing four, because everybody could run for 3 yards and get a first down against the Chiefs, and they just decided, oh, ho-hum, we'll have Deshaun Watson drop back and then win the game with his arm. There's just no respect right now for the Chiefs.
So if you want some stats, here's some for the Chiefs. The Chiefs are the first team to allow 180 rushing yards in four straight games since the 2012 Buffalo Bills. Now, I did not look this up, but I'm going to assume, just based on the history of the Buffalo Bills, that that team was terrible. They are also the second team to do so this in the last decade and the fourth team to do so in the last 30 years. Here's the time of possession numbers. 8 minutes, 53 seconds in the first quarter for the Chiefs. In the second quarter, 5 minutes and 25 seconds. In the third quarter of this football game, the Chiefs had the ball for fewer than 5 minutes. In the fourth quarter, they had the ball for fewer than 2 minutes. I'm not saying that the offense is 100% without blame. They had 2 3-and-outs, which certainly contributes to the time of possession. But if you are going to allow an offense the way that the Texans had, 6 plays of over double-digit plays, they simply come in with the game plan of, we know we can run the football, we know we can be balanced, we know we can do separate things offensively, and you're not going to be able to stop it. Again, there's problems with this team. When it comes to some of the play calling that we'll get to, when we talk about the injuries, there's certainly things that are wrong with this team. The biggest problem with this team is their inability to control the line of scrimmage, their inability to stop the run, and that doesn't appear to be fixed or fixable anytime soon. Eric Fisher can come back. Chris Jones can come back. They were running on Chris Jones, too. This team can't stop the run. That unless they do something drastic, I don't know how it greatly changes over the next 10 weeks.
And don't look now, but 4 of statistically the 12 best running backs in the NFL are the Chiefs' next 4 games. Phillip Lindsay, Aaron Jones, Dalvin Cook, who, I'm not exaggerating, that dude might rush for 275 yards against the Chiefs, and then Derrick Henry, who the Chiefs have never been able to contain. Yesterday, I was watching, what do they call it, Sunday Night in America or whatever, Rodney Harrison, and he said that this defense has gotten far worse from last year. And really, you don't get anywhere comparing this year's defense to last year's defense because new coordinator, new scheme, new leaders, a bunch of new players. But the truth is, they don't look much better. Like, the problems are different. They don't look better, though. I said last week that I think Steve Spagnuolo looks Bob Sutton-esque. Today, I'll say Bob Sutton-ish. And next week, I might just be saying looks like Bob Sutton.
I do want to make this point before we have to close this segment out. I do want to get into the Arrowhead advantage, and we'll talk about that coming up in just a little bit. I thought BK made a really good point earlier today when we were talking about this game and the mindset that it takes to go against stopping the run. I think it was Joe Mays last week that says the defense has to play pissed off, and it has to be a physical mindset you have to have. I've been making this point. I'll continue to make it because I think that's maybe the biggest issue with the team. Man, football is just such a physically demanding game, and it is a battle of wills. And we see, typically, over the course of 60 minutes, whose will is going to win out. When the Chiefs were playing well and they were winning games and they were the best offense in the NFL, it was their mindset and their will that overpowered the other team. We're going to score 40. There's nothing you can do about it. You're not going to stop our quarterback. We're going to throw all over you. Tyreek Hill's going to do the peace sign. We're going to score 40 points, and there's nothing you can do to stop us. What we're seeing now is the flip side. Teams are coming in here, they're running the football, they're doing separate things, and they're daring the Chiefs to stop them, and the Chiefs can't do it. The most disrespectful thing I've seen at Arrowhead in a long time was what Carlos Hyde said after he scored a touchdown.
Carlos Hyde back in. First and goal for Houston. Handoff. Carlos Hyde is in. Touchdown, Texans. The Carlos Hyde revenge.
At some point, as a man, as a defense, as a collective, you got to make the decision that this isn't going to happen. Because, honestly, the default right now has to be, if you play running back in the NFL and the Chiefs are on the schedule, they're running for 100 yards. In daily fantasy, you should be running to play whatever running backs play in the Chiefs. If somebody going up against the Chiefs is available in your waiver wire claim, you need to claim them. That has to be the default now. The Chiefs defense has lost any benefit of the doubt when it comes to slowing down running backs and controlling the line of scrimmage. For Carlos Hyde to say, you can't blanking stop us and then go on to rush for another 90 yards after that moment, that's disrespectful. Teams feel like they can come in here and disrespect this defense. We saw Jacoby Brissett, who plays quarterback, go up to his coach and said, hey, I think we can run the ball down their throats. And they were like, yeah, let's do it. And then they did that exact same thing. The last 3 losses for the Chiefs, whether it's the AFC Championship game or these last 2, simply come with that team is more physical than you, they are more mentally tough than you, and they bet every single time that you will wither or you will do something to impede on your own success.
And dare I say yesterday, coach better than you? Is
absolutely
that crazy?
Absolutely.
I mean, I think yesterday Andy Reid got outcoached by Bill O'Brien. I think that Patrick Mahomes, dare I say, got outplayed by Deshaun Watson. And I think there's an argument to be made that Houston, and I'm not saying I agree with this, but I think there's an argument to be made today after Houston comes into Arrowhead and beats the Chiefs and they've got an identical record. And I've got Deshaun Watson right near the top of the MVP conversation with Russell Wilson, that it's not Patriots and Chiefs anymore. It might be Patriots, Texans, Chiefs, and everybody else.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. And Sean believes that the Arrowhead advantage is gone. We'll discuss it coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 in our national cash contest. Keep it locked in. Text line 69306. Andy called a good game, but two times he did not. Was at the end of the first half, should have taken a knee and went in with the lead. Let's talk about that play coming up in just a little bit. I'm actually on Andy's side. Sometimes I think you can do the right thing, but the wrong result happens. That's what I think happened on the play at the end of the first half. Let's talk about that coming up in just a bit. But first, you think that the Arrowhead advantage is gone with the Chiefs.
Yeah, they lost back-to-back games at Arrowhead for the first time since 2013. The one game they've won at home this year was against Baltimore, and that wasn't very convincing. And they've lost four out of their last seven at the crib. It's not even an opinion seed out at this point. It's a fact that the Arrowhead advantage, while it is an unbelievable atmosphere and the tailgate is worth it, to me, it's a bucket list place to go. Teams don't fear coming to Arrowhead Stadium the same way that us as fans sometimes make it out to be, and I think we've seen that this season. And I was wrong. I'll admit it. I was wrong. I thought that as the games got closer this season, because Kansas City handled Jacksonville and had their way against Oakland, but since then, it hasn't been smooth sailing. Baltimore kept it close. Detroit kept it even closer, and then back-to-back losses. I said that I didn't think Chiefs were kind of starting to have a blueprint, opposing teams were starting to figure out the Chiefs. After seeing the last couple of weeks, they sure as hell are. And one thing they're not concerned about is coming here to Arrowhead.
I got an honest question here. I'm not trying to be flippant. What is the Arrowhead advantage? Because last time I checked, the guy in 327, he ain't out there making any tackles. Last time I checked, the guy in the club level, he's not the one committing defensive holding. He's not the one racking up over 100 penalty yards.
Are you suggesting that where a game is played shouldn't mean anything?
I'm just asking, what is the Arrowhead advantage? Because defense translates. Running the ball translates. Man, the Chiefs will be losing these games anywhere, what's happening. Like, it's not a home field advantage thing. If your offense is only going to have the ball for less than 90 seconds in the fourth quarter, I just don't know what the crowd is supposed to do or how the Arrowhead quote-unquote advantage is supposed to help you. I'm trying to figure out what it is.
Well, then what are we doing here? Like, what the hell are we doing here? The reason that you play is to get a bye and have home field advantage throughout the playoffs the same way they did last year. If we're talking about Arrowhead not being an advantage because there's numbers I just gave you where they've lost four out of the last seven games, then what the hell? Let this team go 9-7, win the division, take a road path like Pittsburgh did and the Giants did one time, and let's win the Super Bowl that way. I just think it's a whole lot easier, and for some reason, the Arrowhead advantage is not nearly as big as it should be.
100%. No one would deny that you much rather play these games at home or on the road. But, man, some things just translate. They had the AFC Championship game at home. The better coach, the more disciplined team, the team that ran the football more effectively, and the team that could convert on third down won the football game. That just translates. Like, the Patriots' model for success, it's a very simple one. They just do the little things much better than you do the little things. I ask this honestly. What do the Chiefs do really well? We watched six games of the Kansas City Chiefs, every single snap. What would you say the Chiefs do really well?
Like, give up rushing yards?
I would say, like, what can they depend on? I'm saying it's 3rd and 12. You got to make a play. What do you think the Chiefs can rely on? Because other than your quarterback making some otherworldly kind of throw or some sports center kind of throw or something that makes you go, wow, they don't do any of the little things that win football games consistently at a high enough level. They don't tackle well. They don't cover well. They don't stop the run well. They don't do any of the little things. So that's not on Arrowhead. That's not where the game is played. This team, they'd be losing these games at home, on the road, or on the moon because they just don't consistently do things that win football games at a high level.
Well, don't get it twisted, bro. The reason the Chiefs were 12-4 and had home field advantage last year was exactly what you just said. Pat was all-worldly. He was Superman. He was way better than any of us, including himself, ever could have imagined. This year, he hasn't been that guy. He's been really good. I think he's still on the short list for the MVP talk. But at some point, you're going to meet your match. When you don't have Tyreek Hill, when you don't have Sammy Watkins, when you don't have your left tackle, when without Damian Williams, when you don't have Chris Jones, when Frank Clark is underperforming, when the rookies haven't performed like we thought they were going to, when the head coach is making mistakes, when you can't stop the run, when you can't run the football, you can't ask this guy to do absolutely everything. And that's what we did last year. And now that he is only really, really good and not perfect or great, it's like, oh my gosh, I can't believe we're humans and we bleed.
I'm not even talking about the Patrick Mahomes. Last year, they did something else well. How many sacks do you think last year's team would have got against Houston?
At least a couple.
How many sacks do you think they would have got last year, BK, against them?
2 to 3? 2.5, 3? Something like that.
That probably wins the football game. There was a stat last year, I wish I had it in front of me. Drives in which a sack happened, that team got off the field like 65% of the time.
Well, there's a guy that did have a couple of sacks yesterday, officially a sack and a half, and his name is D. Ford. And then there's a guy that didn't have one. His name is Frank Clark. So if you want to talk about just one move or just one play, maybe if they don't make that move this offseason, the Chiefs win that game yesterday.
And another point is, you were talking about the Arrowhead advantage. When is typically the loudest that the crowd gets throughout the course of the game? It'd be third down, right?
Mm-hmm.
How can you get loud on third down if the other team never gets the third down?
That's a good point.
The last drive in which Houston scored a touchdown, I believe it was 12 plays, 90 yards. Maybe I got my numbers off just a little bit. You want to know how many third downs this defense forced? Zero. They did not force a single third down on the Texans' final drive. So I hear what you're saying about the Arrowhead advantage. I know the stat. The Chiefs are 3-4 in their last 7 games at home. Man, that's on a team. Think about how the losses have been at home, the last 4 losses we've seen. Thursday night football against the Chargers, the 2-point conversion, the blown play. Remember, they went down the field. Remember, Los Angeles had that 4th down conversion they got at the 2-point conversion where the two guys on the Chiefs ran into each other like it was a cartoon. Mike Williams is wide open. The AFC Championship game gave up 4 straight 3rd and long conversions. The game against the Indianapolis Colts, the offense scored 13 points, couldn't get off the field. And yesterday, that ain't got nothing to do with the Arrowhead advantage. That's got everything to do with the Chiefs not coming out and executing.
Well, here's the difference. All those other games that you just gave us, the last 3 losses before this one at Arrowhead, I thought the Chiefs were going to win. And maybe I'm just wearing my red shades and they're always thick. But maybe that's the problem because the Chiefs were in that game versus the Chargers, could have and should have won it. They took the Patriots to overtime. This game yesterday was the first time, really, maybe in Patrick Mahomes' career, if I really think about it, that after a quarter or certainly at halftime, I thought the Chiefs were going to lose the game.
Only other game I'd probably put in that category is Seattle last year. I didn't think they were going to win that Seattle game on Sunday Night Football. At Seattle, I just didn't think they matched up really well against Seattle. It was on the road, Sunday Night Football. Seattle needed that game. That was part of it. I will say this, though, if we're talking about advantage. The biggest advantage that the Chiefs have, aside from quarterback and aside from coach, and the coaching advantage has not been very big, it's been their dominance in the division. This team, at least with Andy Reid, they rarely lose divisional games. This is one of those games, and I know we'll talk about it more as we get closer. This is a different week because the game's on Thursday. I don't care how you do it. I don't care if they win 3-0. I don't care if they win 60-59. You got to find a way to scratch and claw and stop the bleeding, go into your mini bye at 5-2, and prepare for the biggest test that you've had so far this season. The biggest advantage that they have is their dominance over the Chargers, their dominance over the Broncos, and their dominance over the other team, the Raiders. You got to find a way. I don't care how you do it. You got to find a way to win on Thursday night.
And Denver's feeling really good about themselves. Back-to-back wins. They're at home. They're going to have the big stage. Oh, and by the way, they're coming off of a shutout. So Denver's feeling good about themselves. The Chiefs aren't. The line's only 3.5. Like, if I would have said a month ago, what's the Chiefs-Broncos line going to be? You would have said double digits. You would have started at 10, maybe said 11, 12, something like that. Here we are, and it's a 3.5-point line. Don't look now. If the Chiefs lose, the team you couldn't remember their name, the Raiders will be in first, the Chiefs will be in second, and the Broncos will be right in their rearview mirror. Damn, how quickly things change in the NFL.
A lot of people want to talk about the end of the first half sequence with the Patrick Mahomes fumble and the Juan Thornhill interception. Let's talk about that, because I'm actually on Andy Reid's side here. And we'll give you a chance to win $1,000 on our national cash contest. That's coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive. Weekdays, 2 to 6.
A lot of people on the text line want to talk about the end of the first half. We'll get into that momentarily, but first, let's give you a chance to win $1,000 on a national cash contest. Text the word DRESS, D-R-E-S-S, DRESS, to 72881. That's DRESS. You can be the $1,000 cash winner in our national cash contest. 610 Sports Radio is the only sports station in Kansas City talking Chiefs and giving you a chance with some cold hard cash. All you got to do is keep it locked in on the 30s from 9 to 5. Your next chance to win, your final chance to win for the day is coming up in 1 hour, but go ahead and win right now. One more time for those of you keeping track at home. Text the word DRESS, D-R-E-S-S, to 72881. The National Cash Contest code word for 330 is DRESS. I want to play this for you very quickly. At the end of the first half, the Chiefs, correct me if I'm wrong on the time. It was like 50 seconds left. Maybe I'm off a little bit. Chiefs had three timeouts remaining. They were deep in the shadow of their own end zone. They decided to try to go for it, and it did not work.
Watson, step and throw. Intercepted. Juan Thornhill with a pick. If he knocks it down, they actually would have had much better field position at the 40-yard line. 32 seconds to go. First half. Play fake. Mahomes. Ball is not free. Trying to jump on it with Rankin. This is huge. Houston has taken over. With 16 seconds to play. Watson circles. Flag down. Watson has got the angle for the touchdown. Deshaun Watson does it himself. And Houston goes in front with 16 seconds to play. First half.
So, it was a fourth down. Texans went for it. Juan Thornhill got the interception. He probably should have batted it down. Chiefs then got the football. First play, they fumble. Texans then recover it. They then score a touchdown. It was a dramatic shift in the game and flip in the game heading into halftime. Let's start with the first play and then work our way back. I actually understand Juan Thornhill.
Okay, why?
You're a rookie. You're a young player. You have your first chance to ever get your You have a chance to get your first ever NFL interception. I understand being eager and wanting to catch the football. Like, I get it. In theory, yes, he should have batted it down. But I do understand the human emotion of a young player trying to go up and make a play. I mean, it's not the wrong play or the worst thing that could happen in that scenario. He didn't make the correct play, but I don't fault him for trying to make an interception there.
It's a team game. I know you're a rookie, you're a 20-something-year-old kid, but it's a selfish play. I can't stand when people always point out that's a rookie mistake. No, if he made that mistake in college, or if he made that mistake in high school, or Pop Warner, middle school football before that, everybody knows. I played 1 year for the undefeated 8th-grade Harmony Middle School Thunderbirds, and I was a defensive back, and they told us, knock down the football. That's what you're supposed to do. So if the alternative was picking it off to get your stats and feel good about yourself and to finally get in the NFL record books, it hurt the team. That's what happened. It hurt the team. It was a bad move. And here's one more thing. If you're Steve Spagnuolo and you think you've got some young players out there that are going to do that type of thing, then right before it happens, yell out there. The same way that Mr. Essex, my Pop Warner coach, did to me at the top of your lungs, knock down the football. So that's not a problem. That was a bad play.
Yeah, I don't think I don't think it's a good play, but I also can just understand the youthful exuberance.
Still
of it.
A bad play.
And I don't want to make it seem like I don't ever make those mistakes too. The number one thing in our job is to turn the microphone on. Have I ever talked when the microphone was turned off? That's basic. That's radio 101. It's amateur to not do that, but I've done it before. So I'm just saying is it's easy for me at home to say, man, make the 100% correct football play. And then when he goes out there and you see the ball right in front of you, you reach up and your natural inclination is to try to catch the football. I agree with you. In theory, it is a bad football play. But that's not why the Texans then scored a touchdown. They scored a touchdown because Cam Irving can't block on a certain situation. So I'm not blaming Juan Thornhill for why the Texans scored on that play, because the Chiefs very easily could have been fumbled on the whatever line draw line they were, and Houston would have scored.
Certainly part of it is the result. You're right about that I actually saw what would happen. But if you left the mic on one time, Carrington, and nothing happened, you told me one of the lame stories you always tell me during a break, no big deal. If you started swearing all of a sudden, popped off a bunch of F-bombs, and we knew the result, then it would be a big deal. So that's why it was a problem. If it led to nothing, then you're right. We wouldn't even talk about it. Maybe in passing, we'd go, oh, yeah, remember at the end of the first half when Juan Thornhill got the interception, he should have knocked it down. But the truth is, it ended up costing the Chiefs. And you talk about a
but
swing.
It didn't, though.
That was the swing that ended up costing them the game.
But that's not what cost them, though. Then after that, the Chiefs made a decision. Now, I think they made the right decision. They then made the decision. After the Juan Thornhill play, the Chiefs very easily could have just kneed the football. They could have then said, hey, we lost 30 yards of field position. We're backed up in our own end zone. Let's just knead and go into the half with the lead. Now, this is one of those damned if you do, damned if you don't scenarios. Because I'm telling you, because I've done this job long enough. If they would have lost that football game and they had not tried at the end of the first half, everybody would be complaining, how could you not go for it? You got Patrick Mahomes in three timeouts. I mean, games can change on one big play. You got to try. So I don't fault them for trying. Now, I also don't know what the plan was before. I think their plan was, let's try on first down to try to throw the ball down the field and let's see what happens. If we get a completion or a pass interference, cool, we'll try to go for it. If we don't get it, then let's go into the half. It happened on the first play. Like, sometimes you can do the right thing and play it correctly and the wrong result happened. You gamble. You play blackjack. Mm-hmm. Sometimes in blackjack, you can play the exact right hand. You got an 11, dealer is showing a 4. Hey, I'm doubling down. And then you get a 5 and then you lose. You made the correct play, just the result was not what you had intended, and sometimes that's just going to happen. I think the Chiefs made the right decision. You got the best quarterback in the NFL. You have the fastest player in the NFL. You try to make one play to see if you can get yourself in field goal range. And then if you do, you call timeout. You got 2 timeouts remaining, and you can do something. There are a lot of things to fault Andy Reid for. Number one, trying to run the ball on 2nd and 14 when you didn't run the ball the whole time. I got a lot of criticisms for Andy Reid. Trying to go for it at the end of the first half is not one of my criticisms.
And you nailed it. That's why he's being criticized. That's why he's taking the criticism. Not the brunt of the blame, but taking criticism. If you want to blame Andy Reid today, to me, that's perfectly fine to do. It's not like there was just one bad play call or 2 bad play calls. It was a bunch of them that led to certain situations. How many times just this year, Carrington, at the end of the first half, not just this play, but have we come on the radio and talked about whatever sequence occurred? 3 separate times now. I can remember it. 3 separate times, and each time it was, did Andy do the right thing? So I'm not trying to pour any shade, man. I think Andy's the second best coach of the generation.
What did you want them to do there? I ask this in all seriousness. What did you want them to do?
I have no problem with it. I have no problem with them going for it there. I really don't. My problem was more the other couple of games when Andy could have been more aggressive in the play calling. He chose not to do. Remember, pissed off Pat the first time we saw him? I had a problem with those. I don't really have much of an issue with the way they handled it yesterday.
So then what did the Juan Thornhill interception actually cost them? Like, if you wanted them to do that and the Juan Thornhill interception cost them 20 yards, that same thing could have happened at the 40. Like, it doesn't change the way that if they got the ball at the 1, I would totally agree with you. If it was a situation where, like, he lands on the 1-yard line and that's where they get the football, that changes the way that you're able to then go on your next drive. Getting the ball for this offense at the 20 versus the 40 really changes nothing, especially in that situation where you've got all your timeouts and you're in a situation where you're trying to go down and score. Didn't change anything for them. They would have called probably very similar plays at the 40 as they did at the 20. So I don't think the Juan Thornhill interception actually cost them anything. It was just a bad result on the next play.
Yeah, and that's really what we're arguing here. And that's fine. I understand. I'm as results-oriented as anything. You either do or you don't. You win or you lose. This is one of those things that we are only playing the result. And again, I get it. Because if the Chiefs decide there to just take a knee with 3 timeouts at home with Patrick Mahomes and they lose the football game, people are saying that they potentially left points on the board. So they were in a damned if you do, damned if you don't scenario. They just didn't execute the play. The worst possible scenario happened. They turned the ball over on the first play.
I'm just suggesting that that game yesterday, Andy doesn't get the benefit of the doubt. For his entire career and his life, he does. They ran the ball 10 times. Like, there's absolutely no balance with this football team. And it's not just this week, it's last week. And the common denominator is they lost both those games. Time of possession, can't run the football, can't stop the run. Lack of adjustments. We could talk about this guy didn't play well and this guy's hurting that. At some point, you have to talk about Andy Reid.
I don't understand why we want them to run the ball more. I really don't. Like, I what are we doing here? They don't run the ball well. So why do we want them to run the ball
LeSean
more?
McCoy does. He's averaged over 5 yards a carry. Yesterday, he averaged 5.5, 8 carries for 44 yards. The problem isn't the 5.5, BK. It's the 8. Why is he only running the ball 8 times? You guys tell
because
me Damon Williams
plan.
Is good. He ran the ball 1 time yesterday. I don't know what's going on with my rookie. Like,
You're the only one holding on to this Darwin Thompson dream.
I don't think so.
You're the only one holding on to it. I'm not holding on to that dream. This is the thing. And we can scrap the next segment. What I don't like whenever the Chiefs lose is we play this, who's most to blame? The answer is all of them. We can pull up the roster right now. We can go up and down the line. I can tell you how every single person on the team contributed to this loss. So there is no who's most to blame. Everybody from the top down, from Brett Veach, for the defense that he's created, for Andy Reid, when you come to the running game, we can have the conversation. They don't know how to run the football. That's the simplest
answer
that I have.
They're not even trying.
But I know, but let's have an honest conversation about it. They aren't trying to have the run. They aren't establishing the run. I hear what you're saying about 5 yards a carry. Either you think Andy is stupid, which could be it, or they're not even trying. Think about it. In the game against the Colts, McCoy had 0 carries in the game. This week, he got 8 carries. Last week, Damian Williams got 9 carries. This week, he has 1. What's their plan every single week running the football? I honestly don't know what it is. They don't have one running back that they trust. They don't trust McCoy. They don't trust Darwin Thompson. They don't trust Darrell Williams. They don't trust Damian Williams. There's not one single running back on this team that they trust to run the football. So if they don't have any trust in him, I want them to give those guys more of it. Like, I'm on BK's side with this. I don't know if I really want them to run the ball more because I don't know if they know who their running back is. Like, what's their plan when it comes to running the football? Like, you always talk about having a designated back and guy get 25 carries. They don't have a guy they trust to get 10 carries right now. Certainly not on a week-to-week basis. Like, it's weird to me to go from McCoy having zero carries in a game to now getting 8 carries in the other one. And the other guy who got 9 carries in one game now gets 1 carry. He got 1 carry for 6 yards, and they didn't give him the ball. They don't have a plan to run the football.
I'm not the one that said Damian Williams is a good option heading into the season. That was you. I'm not the one that said no matter who the running back is, Deuce Staley, Brian Westbrook, Jamal Charles, Spencer Ware, whoever runs the ball with Andy Reid, they're going to have success. I didn't say that. You did. And here we are. They're not even trying to run the football. And I hear what BK's
saying.
Because
they have the MVP. Like, this is what I don't
understand,
Sean.
That doesn't mean you completely abandon it.
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Sean, really quick. Do you think they can run the ball? I'm asking you.
I think LeSean McCoy can run the football. He's averaging over 5 yards a carry. Why they don't give him the ball more, I'm not sure. I'm not saying he should carry the ball 25 times a game, but he's got 8 carries in the last 2 games, somewhere in between.
Okay, so your opinion, why do you think they don't run the ball? Because the number you were saying, I'm going to guess that Andy Reid also has the number. Like, I'm going to guess that Andy Reid also has Google, a Pro Football Reference, and can look at it and say, hey, every time LeSean McCoy gets the ball, he runs for 5 yards a carry.
Are you guys saying they should run the ball less? I just want to make sure. Is that what you're telling me?
I'm saying I have no issue with the way they've run the ball. No. The problem is that their passing offense hasn't been as efficient as it was a year ago. And so, therefore, we are criticizing them. If we want to criticize anybody, it's the fact that yesterday they had like 12 plays in the second half, and a lot of them were passing plays, and a lot of them didn't work. What we're really mad about is that their passing plays didn't work yesterday. That's what we're mad about. And that's fine. The running plays that they had that weird run play to DeAnthony Thomas where you want to call it a pass, you want to call it a run, whatever. It was basically a designed run to DeAnthony Thomas. It was a terrible play call. They shouldn't have done it in that spot. Another one, 2nd and 10. They ran the football. It was a terrible play call because they ran the ball on 2nd and 10. And then they threw an incompletion, 3 and out. The next drive, 3 and out once again. The problem is that they weren't completing their passes and the passing offense didn't look efficient. That's my problem. I have no issue with the way that they're running the ball this year or the lack of running that they're doing because they have the MVP at quarterback. I wanted them to throw more because when they did, good things tended to happen.
I'm not 100% on BK's side. I don't think they trust their offensive line or like any of their running backs. That's where I'm at. I don't think they like any of their running backs. I don't think they have a plan every single week to run the ball. Like, there's a plan when it comes to passing the ball. There was an offensive plan to try to get Tyreek Hill involved. They threw it to him 10 times. There's a plan going into it. Hey, we're going to try to throw the ball to Travis Kelce 8 to 12 times. I don't think they have a running plan. I don't think that Andy thinks they can run the football. So I'm with you. It'd be ideal if they could run the football. I don't know how you can justify one week not giving LeSean McCoy any carries and then the next week giving him the most carries in the game but not really running the ball effectively. It's like every week they just spin the wheel when it comes to running the football to decide what the plan is. So I don't think that Darwin Thompson is the answer. I don't think that Darrell Williams is the answer. I don't think that any of them are the answer. I don't think this team can run.
I don't care if you've got Tom Brady throwing to Calvin Johnson and Jerry Rice with Tony Gonzalez as his tight end. If you can't run the football at all, other teams know you can't run the football. You're not going to win the Super Bowl. Give me the example out there. Maybe you can find one. I know you always do. You go back on your Google and figure it out. Most of the great quarterbacks had at least some sort of a running game.
But we all
agree with you, though. The Chiefs aren't even trying to run the football.
We agree with you. I'm asking you, why do you think they don't try? Because I'm saying is your numbers that you have, they run the ball for 5 yards a carry. Logic would tell you if you run the ball for 5 yards a carry, we should do it more often. Like, you don't got to be Bill Belichick or John Madden. If you're running the ball that effective, hey, maybe we should mix it in a little bit more. The Chiefs don't try. So either you think they're stupid and they're like, hey, this offense plan that we have, we're getting 5 yards a carry and 6 yards a carry, let's just not try to do it even though it's successful, or they don't think that that's sustainable. That's what I think. I don't think they think it's sustainable because it doesn't make any sense on a week-to-week basis. They don't have a plan every single week running the football.
I agree with that part. It's about the only thing. They don't have a plan. They haven't even gave my guy Darwin Thompson a shot. I don't know what they're doing with Darrell Williams. Damian Williams was named the feature back, and he got 1 carry. LeSean McCoy has 8 carries in the last 2 weeks. I agree with you. But they do have a running back in LeSean McCoy that's had a really good season. As a matter of fact, if you made me say, what's Brett Veach's biggest contribution to this team this offseason, it might be adding LeSean McCoy. So he's been really good. You're asking me an answer that has no question to it. If I had to answer this question, something tells me the Chiefs would hire me to be on their staff every single week. Why aren't the Chiefs running the football enough? Hell, I don't know. I'm asking the same question.
I don't think they trust their offensive line. That's my answer, though. I mean, maybe that's not the correct answer. I genuinely don't think they trust their offensive line. I think that's the answer. Like, look, McCoy's been a good option. How they use him week to week isn't consistent.
But not trusting the offensive line also makes it more difficult on Pat. And I think part of the problem that Pat doesn't look like himself, whether it's the eye test or the numbers, certainly doesn't look like the same guy that won the MVP last year or even the first month of this season, is that same offensive line that he's got trepidation about, that he's worried that he's going to get hit on every other play. So I hear what you're saying. Don't run the football because you've got Pat. It's that same line that's trying to keep him in one piece.
Coming into this week, the only team that allowed, in terms of the offensive line, Football Outsiders has numbers on this, the only team that's offensive line blocked more yards on average per play, or fewer yards rather. Basically, the worst team in the NFL when it came to blocking for the run was the New York Jets. The Chiefs were the second worst. The Chiefs can't block the run. They're not very good in pass pro, but at least then you can get the ball out quickly, and you've got Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill now coming back. And it sounds like on Thursday night, potentially Sammy Watkins. They're going to have their full complement of pass catchers on Thursday night. Also, all of their running backs are really good in the passing game. So why do I think that they should continue doing this game plan? Because their offensive line stinks at blocking for the run. Their running backs aren't particularly great when they get the football right now. I don't think LeSean McCoy can last over the course of the season if you give him 15 yards per carry. We've seen that over the last few years with the Bills. You know why he looks good right now? Because he's getting these 10 yards per carry or 10 carries per game. The only game when that wasn't the case was last week, and I was with you, Sean. It was strange the way that they used him against the Colts specifically. I don't have that issue this week. The issue this week was the offense wasn't good in the second half, but they only had those two drives that we're talking about that they weren't good. They only had six plays on those two drives. So why didn't they give them the ball more? Because they didn't have enough plays to give them the ball more in the second half. None of us had an issue with their offense in the first half.
And, I mean, I think they were coming out, and I know they weren't running the football in the very beginning. I mean, it felt like out of their first 10 pass plays, four of them were screen plays. Like, they were trying to use that as their extended running game to try to take pressure of Pat, and Houston just adjusted very well to kind of slow that part of it down. But, yeah, I mean, that's my answer to the question. I mean, obviously could be wrong. I just don't think they trust their team enough to run the football, so they just don't run the ball, and they just don't have a consistent plan week to week to do it successfully, Sean.
I don't think abandoning the run is the way to go, and I'm with you. Like, I thought this running game would be much better than it has been based on Andy Reid's history. Just look at the last few years. Whoever runs the football for the Chiefs has had success. You got to go back to it. Like, if it's not working, the easy thing to do is just ditch it. The truth is, you have to keep going back to it because at some point, the Chiefs running game is going to get going, whether it's Damian Williams or Darrell Williams or LeSean McCoy. They're not going to – the offensive line is not good. I'm not going to pretend like they are and they're not healthy. But when you've got Andy Reid, when you've got Patrick Mahomes, when you've got all these other weapons, it should make the running game easier the same way that it has the last few years. So to me, completely abandoning it. And look at the results. I mean, look at the results. The first few weeks, you tried to run the football, you won the games. The last couple of weeks, you completely abandoned the run, you lost the game.
Offensive line was also better weeks one and week two than it is right now, too. I mean that part factors into it. They also had Eric Fisher in those 2 weeks. Like that was a part. I'm with you. They ran the ball successfully against. Like, they also trusted it.
I want to see how many.
They were also winning. That's the other part.
I want to see how many games.
They're behind in these games.
I want to see
how
many games in the hit. Well, it's not like they're getting their asses kicked. Like, they were close. They could have ran the football. That's just an excuse. Not like they were down by 21. No,
they ran six plays when they were behind.
Again, they weren't even running the football when they were up. That's the problem. They're not even trying to run the football.
How would you divvy up the carries?
I'd probably give LeSean McCoy 3 out of every 4, but I'd give him more than 8 in 2 weeks.
I'm just asking. I'm asking legitimately.
LeSean McCoy's the feature back. I want him carrying the football somewhere between, 12 to 15 times a game. He can't be a 20-25 carry back. He'll crumble into pieces.
That's fine.
Damian Williams, I told you 3 weeks ago, I'm running the other direction. You guys are the ones telling me, and the Chiefs are the ones that are telling me, by still putting a uniform on this guy, that he's worth it. And then he went out there and carried the ball one time. I don't know what the plan is for him. I don't know what they're doing. Like, my hands are up in the air. I don't know what they're doing with the
running game. I'm saying, you want him to run the football more. So let's say out of the course of the game, so in that game, you would have gave LeSean McCoy 14, 15 carries. You're giving Darwin 5 to 7 carries. Like, what's your plan to get the running game kind of going here? You said stick with it. Is it just try to go out there and say, hey, we're establishing the line of scrimmage. We're establishing the run. Pat, you're not throwing the ball 35, 40 times. We're going to limit your opportunity to throw the football, and we're going to try to establish a running game and run the ball successfully. Do you think that's a winning strategy?
One-dimensional teams in the NFL don't win, never have won, never will win. I don't care how good that one dimension is. I don't care if you've got Andy Reid. I don't care if you have Patrick Mahomes. I don't care if Tyreek Hill's on the field. I don't care if you've got Sammy Watkins healthy. none of that matters. Like, if you're that one-dimensional and you can't run the football and teams know it, they're going to stop you the same way they have the last couple of weeks, which just makes it more difficult for Patrick Mahomes. He's already on a hobbled ankle. He already doesn't have 100% of his guys. If you can't run the football, it doesn't make it any easier on the passing game. That's for damn sure.
Coming up in a little bit, we'll get into the updated goal for the Chiefs that I think exists for the team. BK, let's get into what they're saying about the team, man.
The game has been played and the vendors have been paid. Let's get out of KC and hear what they're saying on the drive.
So let's get into what national pundits are saying for the Chiefs after their loss Sunday against the Texans. Colin Cowherd thinks that Mahomes and Watson is a virtual coin flip.
If they played 10 times, it's 5-5. Mahomes, bigger arm, no question. Deshaun Watson, to me, better athlete. And now Deshaun finally has a reasonable offensive line. So I think when you look at the weapons and you look at the running game and you look at the O-lines, it's a coin flip. It is a coin flip. Deshaun's always been underrated. Patrick hasn't been overrated. He was just easier to spot.
That's Patrick Mahomes. You had your eye on this shootout. You think that Watson's now climbed up the MVP charts.
Yeah, and I still think Pat's on the short list, but the last couple of weeks, he's not the heavy favorite that he was. Well, since he won the MVP trophy last year, there's probably a few guys in that conversation. Russell Wilson's found his way in that conversation. But Deshaun Watson, he was every bit as good as I thought he was going to be and better. It's not just the numbers. They were fine. 30 of 42 for 280 yards and a touchdown. But it seemed like he made the right play at the right time. Because we talk about these multi-threat quarterbacks, Mike Vick back in the day, and Lamar Jackson's kind of the flavor of the month. The truth is, C-Dot, the best dual-threat quarterback that I've seen with my own two eyes is Deshaun Watson, because the way that he uses both those threats, he doesn't run the way that Lamar Jackson does. Lamar Jackson has to run to be successful. We saw Deshaun Watson yesterday only run when he had to. He was very successful. I think right now, if you had to hand out the MVP trophy, you're talking about either Russell Wilson or Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, I'm not really interested that much in the MVP just because I think Mahomes is out of it. It's so early in the season. If I had to pick right now, Russell Wilson would win MVP, but there's so much football left in this one. More than anything, Deshaun Watson, like, we talk so much about the Manning, Brady, and all that kind of stuff. Like, Watson seems to be a worthy adversary. Like, the other players that have been kind of thrown in this mix, whether it's Lamar Jackson, whether it's Baker Mayfield, whether it's these kind of guys, like, the only one worthy of the praise, the only one that I think is going to stand the test of time and be around is Deshaun Watson. Like, he's fantastic. We talk about the offensive line with Mahomes and not having the weapons. Like, Deshaun Watson is dealing with some of the same deficiencies on the roster, but still finding a way to elevate the play of him around. Like, man, the Texans left some stuff on the board, whether it was Will Fuller, whether it was some different things. Deshaun Watson, like, went out there and made plays on the road in a hostile environment. I came away really impressed with how he played.
Also, where's this win in Pat's career where he goes on the road and beats the reigning MVP in a game that you're an underdog? I suppose you could say last year, week one, he went on the road against a future Hall of Famer in Phillip Rivers and won that game. But the truth is, that's the only playoff team that he's beat on the road so far. This is a good win. I think this elevates the Texans into maybe not the tier one conversation. I think the more relevant conversation today is, C-Dot, are the Chiefs still in that tier one conversation?
Coming up in just a little bit, I want to get into what the updated goal is for the Kansas City Chiefs. A lot of people are freaking out and worried. Everything that the Chiefs want is still right there in front of them. We'll talk about it coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, 610 Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.